Each year, $140 million worth of hand-woven carpets are exported from India. The majority come to the U.S. and Britain. Now a new documentary is looking at the labor involved in making those carpets, specifically the child slave labor. Kate Blewett and Brian Woods are the documentary producers. They estimate that nearly 300,000 children are enslaved in India. Their documentary, Carpet Slaves, Stolen Children of India, follows the life of one of these children, Huro. Ms. Blewett and Mr. Woods have joined us in our studio to discuss their project. Welcome.
Thank you.
Huro, what happened to him?
He was playing on a riverbank one day with some friends, and a man came up to him and basically tempted him by the belief that he was going off to do something nice and sweet and a trip out. But in fact, what happened was he was taken to the carpet belt zone, put into a carpet loom, and for the next 5 or 6 years, he was locked away as a slave, couldn't go out, couldn't talk to the other boys, received no money at all for his work, and lived with violence or the threat of violence.
And this has happened. Huro is from a village where a number of children have been kidnapped and taken off to this carpet belt, which is in northern India, up near the border. Is that right?
The area where Huro is taken from is a state called Bihar. A large number of children disappear from that area every year. Many of them end up in the carpet belt around an area called Varanasi. It's a major tourist site. Anyone who's been to India will probably have been down to the Ghats at Varanasi. It's the main place on the Ganges where you see the sunset and the bodies being burned. And that's where most of the children are enslaved.
The state where a lot of these children are stolen from is the poorest state in India. So we're looking at the most vulnerable children and those with the least influence. If their parents find their child is missing, they can't really call a lawyer or get a friend to jump in their car and help them search. They are absolutely, they're on foot in a village with no contacts, and they don't know where to start looking for their child.
And you get involved in this search for Huro about 4 or 5 years after he's been kidnapped at the age of 6. Is that correct?
He was kidnapped when he was 6, roughly 6. They never really quite know how old they are, but he was roughly 6. And we got involved with an organization whose job it is to actually look for the stolen children.
South Asian Coalition Against Child Servitude.
SACS.
Which is actually, it's a coalition of many small organizations all across South Asia, all working on child labor and bonded labor issues.
And they actually get involved in searching for these children and then going and doing raids and trying to free them.
Correct. They are active on the ground. Without SACS, we would never, ever have got anywhere in searching for Huro.
And now, in your documentary, you have a clip of an actual raid. Let's listen to that for just a moment.
There's so much happening all at once in this scene. The SACS workers have identified a loom where they believe that Huro and some other boys are being held captive. Now, they've gone to the district magistrate and they've asked permission to conduct a raid and get the police to come with them. The police have to come along because it's quite dangerous. The loom owners are sometimes armed. Now, most of the men of the village have run away because of the police presence. There's a lot of women who are all trying to stop us getting in to the looms. Lots of shouting, lots of, no, there are no children here, go away. This is, you can't come in here, you're not allowed, all this kind of thing. And the police saying, why are you locking this door? We demand entry, banging on the doors, looking through the bars, seeing children hiding, trying to get away, trying to get out. Because the children are told by the loom owners that if ever something like this should happen, if ever strangers come to the loom, then they will be killed. So these children live in fear of something like this happening. So they have no idea that the people are actually trying to rescue them.
Slavery is illegal in India, and I'm wondering why the government isn't taking aggressive action. Why is it up to a group like the South Asian Coalition to do this?
Yes, there's a law against it. The Bonded Labour Act was passed in the 80s, and it's very clearly illegal. But the police don't see it as a priority. It's a very difficult job to do. These villages are very remote. They're days from the nearest airport. And so it's a very difficult thing to police. And really, it needs a strong will. And that will comes from activists who really care about child labour, not from the police, for whom it is one of many, many problems that they've got to deal with.
One of the other things that these activists do is to take the children after they've been freed and try to help them reacclimate to life and freedom.
I think that's a very, very important area, which is that when the children are locked up and enslaved for most of their childhood, when they're released, they don't know what it's like to be free. They don't understand freedom. They don't have any social skills. They haven't spoken really much to people in the time they've been enslaved. They don't know how to get on in the world. And a very important part of freeing slaves is then to rehabilitate them. And we were fortunate to meet a wonderful woman called Suman, who runs an ashram in the outskirts of Delhi. And this is set up to specifically take care of children who have all been released from different forms of slavery.
Let's hear a little bit of the sound from the documentary at this ashram.
This is a point where they're sitting around on the ground and a worker's just talking about where they've come from. And he's saying, now, many of you used to work in carpet weaving, didn't you? Hands up everyone who worked in carpet weaving. And they all put their hands up and say, I did. And then he says, and did you ever get to sit on any of those carpets? And of course they all say no. And this is the beginning of the recovery process, so that they can see that their experience wasn't unique. They're not being uniquely punished for being evil, because these children have an incredibly low self-esteem at this point. When we first started making this film, we met a bonded labourer who's an adult slave, effectively, who was freed about 5 years ago. And he said, you people who have been free all your life, you cannot have any comprehension of what it is like to not be free, to be totally controlled by someone else. And I, as a slave, could have no comprehension of what it is like to feel the way I feel now. This is something not only I couldn't have dreamed of, but I couldn't even imagine. The thoughts wouldn't fit into my head when I was a slave, because that was not the way my world was.
What happens to these loom owners? Does anything happen to these?
Well, this is one of the most distressing parts of the whole story. To date, no loom owner has spent any time in prison for his offences. And, I mean, these loom owners torture the kids. They physically and mentally abuse the children. There was one child who tried to escape. He got out of one of the looms, was running, got caught, and this boy was burnt from head to toe with an iron. He was left for dead. He somehow managed to crawl to another village, got help, got into hospital, and he was taken to Suman's ashram. And he couldn't speak for 4 months. He couldn't speak, couldn't walk, couldn't talk.
And the first words he spoke after 4 months was to name the loom owner that had done this to him. And they had the other children who'd also escaped who corroborated that. And yet, with all that evidence, the police said that this was insufficient to act.
He still walks free, the loom owner. Mm.
You make the point in this film that all of us are responsible for some extent for this child slavery. Describe how you get to that.
There are 27 million slaves in the world today.
That's more than ever before in the history.
Now, because it's happening through the global economy, through the market, and because it's partly our purchasing patterns, our habits that are doing that, that means that we also have the power of the consumer to change things. We can choose to buy fair-traded coffee, fair-traded chocolate. We can choose to buy carpets and rugs that carry the rug mark, which is a labelling system that ensures that there is no slavery involved in the making of a rug. But you've unfortunately got to go out and look. It's hard work. You know, it's not easy yet.
Thanks very much, Kate Blewett and Brian Woods, joining us to talk about their film Carpet Slaves, Stolen Children of India. It premieres on Cinemax on March 26th at 7 p.m.